Today's shiur is Masechta Menachos Daf Mem Dalet. We will begin on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, the top line. Tana Rabbanan Chilazon Zeh. When we speak about the Chilazon from which the Tchelis is made, Gufay Doim Milayam. The color of its body is similar to the color of the sea. Ubriyasay Doim Miladag. And its anatomy is similar to the fish. In fact, some mepharshim, based on this Gemara, say the fact that the Gemara says Ubru Yosoi Doi Miladag, it's similar to a fish, that in fact the Chilazon is not really a fish. The Chilazon is more like a sea creature, not a fish, which will be relevant in trying to identify what exactly the Chilazon was. Others say that it was actually a fish. And it comes out of the sea once every 70 years. And with its blood they had the tchelis, and therefore since it comes up so infrequently, dam of your karim, it's very expensive. Interesting machlokes, if we speak about the chilazon, which is, as our Gemara indicates, is what's used for the tzitzis, is the same chilazon also used for making the big day kahuna. There is a deek in the Rambam and in other mefarshim that the chilazon was not used to make the big day kahuna. That they used a different dye. In fact, there's an interesting Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that there was no tzedah. Tzedah is not considered one of the malachas because tzedah didn't take place in the Mishkan. And we know that the model of what is considered a malacha and what is not considered a malacha is what occurred in the Mishkan. So the fact that the Yerushalmi says there was no tzedah seems to be an indication that they didn't use the chilazon for the Big Day Kahuna. Because if they used the chilazon for the Big Day Kahuna, then certainly they had to have tzedah to catch the chilazon. Others say that that isn't a raya, that they didn't catch the chilazon in the Midbar, because there was no chilazon in the Midbar. But they already caught the chilazon in Mitzrayim prior to their coming to the Midbar, and therefore say that perhaps there was chilazon, that even if there was no tzedah in the Midbar to make the Mishkan, there's still the chilazon, perhaps is the same chilazon that's used for tzitzis. Of course, as we discuss this Gemara, and we speak about the chilazon, the question is, we know that the Medrash says that there is no tchelis anymore, the tchelis has been put away. And the Mefarshim discuss if that halacha, that the different rabbanim, different people over the generations, have attempted to identify what is the chilazon. The first that was very famous for doing so was the Ritzina Rebbe about 120 years ago, was the one that spent almost a year at an aquarium in Naples, Italy, where he looked at many different types of fish, and he identified the chilazon as a type of a squid, very much in line with what we discussed earlier, that is the chilazon a fish or is it not a fish. He identified it as a squid, and he started to suggest that we now again have the mitzvah of tchelis. There are a number of questions involved in his approach. One issue is that apparently he used some sort of a chemical to make the chilazon die, make the tchelis die. And there are many that indicate that if you're going to use chemicals, you could always make it into the blue dye. That isn't such a unique feature of anything if it's going to be used with a chemical. Although in the Gemara on Daf Mem Gimel, it's very clear that the Gemara says that they use salmonim, that they use different chemicals to extract the tchelis from the chilazon, and that therefore is not necessarily such a compelling argument. We know that the Ritzina Rebbe wrote a number of Svarim, Sune Tmune Chayil, and Tchelis, different Svarim, to discuss his position that the Tchelis, that this squid that he identified is the Tchelis. The fact that our Gemara says that it doesn't come up only once every 70 years, even though that squid is certainly much more available, he said was not necessarily a compelling argument. He says it could be in a certain spat. The Tchelis doesn't come up more than every 70 years. But it is, or once every 70 years, it's very, very available. But not to say that it isn't available at any other time. The Rezina Rebbe went throughout to all the Gedolei Yisrael to get them to agree with his position regarding the Chilazon, and it's known that he went to the Beis Halevi, and there's two versions why the Beis Halevi was not so quick to agree with his position. One version is that, as we just quoted, the Medrash says that the Chilazon was not found, was nignaz, it was put away for a certain amount of time, certainly. He says, if it was indeed this squid that the Rezina Rebbe suggested it was, that is a creature that was always found. So why would the Gemara say that it was, why would the Medrash say that it was missing? That's one point, that the one way that the Beis Halevi's unacceptance of the Rezina Rebbe's proposal goes. Another way that I saw they suggest the Beis Halevi wasn't satisfied is that everything that we have has to be built on a Mesira. A Mesira has to be a valid Mesira of many generations. Since we no longer have the Mesira of exactly what the Chilazon is, says the Beis Halevi, no one has the right to reestablish such a reestablish such a Mesira unless he has it from the Sanhedrin from previous generations. Although it's also known that many Gedolei Yisrael did say that perhaps the Rezina Rebbe is right, some of them didn't wear the Chilazon, didn't wear the Tchelis publicly, they wore it more privately. In fact, I saw that the Marsham, certainly known as one of the Gedolei Yisrael, the Gedolei Apoiskim, did wear tzitzis with tchelis. Just those weren't the tzitzis that he wore publicly that people should see. But he did leave in his tzavah that the tzitzis that he should be buried in should be specifically the tzitzis that had the tchelis on them. Another great individual who spent a lot of time in identifying the tchelis was Rav Herzog, the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, and he said it wasn't the squid that the Rezina Rebbe had identified, but rather was a different fish, a fish called a murex. The advantage of following the Rav Herzog's approach is, number one, it's a fish, it's not just a sea creature. Number two, this was indeed a fish that wasn't available for many years, so we could understand the Medrash that says it was nignaz. But he had a problem that the blood of the murex is not actually blue, it's more like a purple, and therefore it isn't chilazon, because we know that the Gemara says in numerous times in our perek that the chilazon is similar to the color of the tchelis, is similar to the color of color ilon, which is more like a blue or indigo color, and therefore he had a problem. How can we say that it was this fish? Until it was discovered, actually by accident, that the blood of this fish is indeed not blue, but there is a glands that secrete this coloring, and that coloring is in fact closer to blue. Another issue that they had was based on our Gemara, because our Gemara says that the gufoi, that the body of this fish
Doim Eliyam, has this bluish color. And this murex actually has more like a brownish color. So isn't that an indication that it isn't the chilazon? But again, they discovered a very interesting thing. Indeed, when it's cleaned, it has a brownish color. But when it comes out of the ocean, it actually, and not clean, it has more of a bluish color from the color of what's going on in the sea, and therefore it's actually understandable why the murex may be considered the chilazon. Interesting question that comes up, particularly if we follow the approach of the Radzina Rebbe, that the chilazon is a squid, which we of course know it's not kosher. So the question is, we've learned in our Masechta many times that the halacha is mimashke Yisrael, that something that's going to be used for Dovah Kadosh has to be something that we may eat from. And if it's a non-kosher species, certainly we may not eat from it. So how can we suggest that the chilazon is a non-kosher species? So the Paiskim answer that since the chilazon is only used for coloring, when we speak about the din of Mashke Yisrael, it doesn't apply to something that's only used for coloring. Says the Gemara Tanya, Am Reb Nosson, Ein lecha ka mitzvah kala sheksuva b'Torah. There is no even easy mitzvah that's mentioned in the Torah. She'ein matn schara b'olam hazeh u'olam haba, where we don't get schar but in this world, we get schaffered in this world. Olam haba, as far as olam haba, any day kama, we have no way of knowing how much schar will be available to us. As the Mashal explains, this is not to be confused with the Mishnah that we say every morning, she'el dvarim shekaren kayemes olam haza olam haba. That peres olam haza karen kayemes olam haba. Rather, this is to be understood that half is in the schar for this mitzvah, both in this world and in the next world. So our Gemara identifies tzitzis as a mitzvah kala. And the Mefarshim give many different explanations why is tzitzis considered a mitzvah kala. Some explain, because tzitzis is only a mitzvah sasei. And since it's only a mitzvah sasei, it's considered a mitzvah kala. And as others go on to say, that even though there are mitzvahs sasei, for which there's a chiv karis, karim pesach, mila, for tzitzis, there is no chiv karis, and that's why it's considered a mitzvah sasei. Other mitzvah kala. Others say it's considered a mitzvah kala because it's relatively inexpensive, and with just a minor investment, you can buying a pair of tzitzis, you'll have this great mitzvah of tzitzis. Others, I saw explain, that it's a mitzvah that's easy to fulfill, because all one has to do is just wear tzitzis. All you have to do is just look at the tzitzis, wear them and look at them, and you have fulfilled the mitzvah. The Ben Yoyada gives a different explanation. He says, we know, especially when we speak about tefillin, that the halacha is with tefillin, there's a rule that it has to have a guf naki. A person's body has to be clean. But there is no such halacha regarding tzitzis. And therefore, says the Ben Yoyada, we could understand why tzitzis is considered a mitzvah kala. And continues the Gemara. Say lamad the mitzvah tzitzis. Let's look at the mitzvah tzitzis. Says the Gemara, Maisa ba'odam echod shayizor b'mitzvah tzitzis. There was an episode with an individual who was particularly careful with the mitzvah tzitzis. Shama, and he heard, shayizoyna b'kar chayam, shenaitalas arba meyizuzim b'schara. That she takes 400 gold pieces as her salary. Shigalo, arba meyizuzim, a couple of man. So he sent her this amount of money, and they made up a specific time when they would meet. Shigiyah's manner, when the time for their meeting came, Bar v'yoshva l'pesach, he came to the door of her home, nichnasa shivchas of amala, and the maid of this woman came and told her, oysa adam, sheshigalach abim meyazahuvim, bar v'yoshva l'pesach. The person who had sent you the money and made up this appointment is here. Amra, he, so she said, yikanes, let him enter. Nichnas, and he came into the room. She prepared for him seven beds, one above the other. Sheish shel kesef, six had silver linen,
Bachas shel zahav and one had gold linen. Obein kol achas v'achas sulam shel kesef. Between each of the beds there was a silver ladder. V'yoyna shel zahav, and the highest ladder was made out of gold. Also v'yoshva al gabel yoyna kshiruma. She sat in the uppermost bed without any clothing. Vaf hu ola leishiv orim kenegdo. And so too did he sit like that next to her. Ba abetz to Yosef. So his tzitzis came, the tov kolay upon us, and they pelted him on his face. So first, explain why specifically the tzitzis. We know that the halacha is haboil aramis. If someone has relations with a non-Jewish woman, kanoim poigimba. The kanoim have a right to attack him. The tzitzis, who represent Hashem, are the kanoim who came to attack him. Nishmat, as soon as this happened, he went down the Yashva Gabal Karak and he sat on the floor. Vav he, Nishmat of Yashva Karak. So she came down to sit next to him. Amrlo, so she said to him, Gapel Sharoimi, I make a shvua, either in the name of the government or the name of the Avodah Zarah of Rome. Sheni Menichoscha, I will not let you go. Acha Tomeli Ma Mum Reisabi, until you tell me what effect that you see in me that you left me. Amrlo, he responded, Havoida, I make a shvua. Shalei Reisi Isha Yofa Kamoseich, I never saw anyone as beautiful as you. Ella, mitzvah achas tivona Hashem Elokeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to do mitzvah, the tzitzis shema. And regarding the tzitzis, it says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem shtei pomim. Ani Yehu she'osel lipara. I am the God who will give punishment to someone who acts inappropriately. V'ani Yehu she'osel l'shalom schar. And I'm the one that gives reward for somebody who acts properly. Achshav nidmali ka'ab edim. The four tzitzis are like the four edim. So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that the reason we have four tzitzis, two are edim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a reward to those that act properly, and two are edim for the one that didn't act properly. Another pshat that I saw is we know that the Torah says, Shoiftim v'shoitrim titen l'cha. The tzitzis are our shoiftim, and the tzitzis are our shoitrim. Just like the minimum amount of shoiftim we have is two, so to the minimum amount of shoitrim we must have a two. Two plus two are four. Asher nidmalai ka'abe edim. The tzitzis are my four edim. Amrala, so she said to him, Eini menichacha, I will not let you go, Asher timely until you tell me ma shimcha, what is your name? Omashem Ircha, from what city do you come? Omashem Ravach, and what is the name of your teacher? Omashem Midrashcha, Shatalim by Torah. In which base medrash do you learn Torah? Kasav Anasim B'yada. So he put down all of this information on a piece of paper. Amda B'chilka Kol Nechaseha. So she went and she divided up all of her possessions. Shlish L'malchus, a third she gave to the government, because the government did not want her to leave. And Farshim explained, it's very possible that many government officials were actually her clients, and therefore they didn't want it to leave. Shlish l'niyim, a third she gave for tzedakah. And Farshim explained, because now she knew that she wanted to be megayer, as we'll see, that she wanted to convert, and she was concerned that, as we'll see in a moment, that they would not accept her gayrus. Because of that, to help, that she should have a schus, that a gerus should be accepted, she gave a third of her money to tzedakah. B'shlish nikla b'yada, and a third she took along with herself. Chutz ma'aris matzos, except for the linens which she had with her. Obal beis medrash shachia, she came to the beis medrash of Rachia. Others say he was actually Rameya. Amrla Rebbe, Savei aleinu v'yasunu giyoris. I want to become a giyoris. Amrla biti. So they said to her, Shema anayach nosat be'echetz min ha'talmidim. Maybe the only reason you were coming, you want to come to the Yoreh, is because you want to marry one of the yeshiva talmidim. And the halacha is the one who becomes a Yoreh only for an ulterior motive to get married with someone, we don't accept that geiris. Hatzik sab miyada v'nosnula. She took out the piece of paper and showed him that what had happened. Amrala, they accepted her geiris and they said, L'chi zechek b'machech. Now you can marry him. And as Tosfos explains, even though we just explained that one may not accept a geiris, one may not accept a geiris if there's a reason to believe that the geiris wasn't done, that the geiris was done for an ulterior motive. Here, where it was clear to them that she had the most valid intentions in becoming a geiris, the fact that she also wants to marry one of the yeshiva talmidim is not a reason to prevent her from becoming a geiris. Says the Gemara, now that they got married, that betting that she wanted to have relations with him on inappropriately in violation of the din, now the tzila v'heter were able to be done properly. Says the Gemara, this is what we understand about tzitzis. Zeh makom schar ba'olam hazeh. Here we see tzitzis are something that is schar in this world. Olam haba, when we speak about olam haba, any day of kama, we couldn't even imagine how much schar will be. Very interesting word that the Sfarim say. We know that when Tamar encountered Yehuda and they were going to have relations, she said to Yehuda to give her his chaysamcha upsilcha. So the Mefarshim explained that the chaysamcha upsilcha that he asked for were actually Yehuda's tzitzis. And why did she ask for Yehuda's tzitzis? Because she was concerned, as we just learned in our Gemara, that if she'll ask that if Yehuda will have his tzitzis, the tzitzis will prevent them from having relations. So the only way that it could be sure that she would be able to be sure that the tzitzis, that nothing would come in the way of them having relations was by asking for the psilcha, was by asking for her tzitzis that wouldn't be there to prevent them from having relations with her. On the other hand, we remember that the pasuk says by Rus, when she wanted to have relations with Boaz, he said, "Uprasta knafecha." She uses the words "uprasta knafecha," and as we've been learning, the word "knaf" refers to the tzitzis, because she, unlike Tamar, was saying to Boaz, "I'm certain that what we're doing, that we're having relations, is the right thing to do." And how do I know for sure that we're doing the right thing? Ufrasta knafecha. We're your tzitzis. And your tzitzis will show that what we're doing is actually the right thing, is the right thing to do. The Pnei Menachem, I saw, it says a very powerful word. He says, our Gemara says, that what the tzitzis accomplished was that instead of him having inappropriate relations with this woman, they got married and they had proper relations. So he says, is that what the tzitzis accomplished? That he should end up with a beautiful wife? Is that what the Gemara is teaching us, is the schar of tzitzis? Says the Pnei Menachem, it's sometimes harder to do a mitzvah properly than to do an aveira. And the lesson of our Gemara, says the Pnei Menachem, is that first he wanted to do an aveira, and the tzitzis stopped him. Now he was going to do a mitzvah. And to do a mitzvah, it is very hard to do it properly, but because of the schus of the tzitzis, he was able to get to this madrega. This Gemara is actually the basis for a very famous minig, and that is the minig is that a kala buys her chosen of a talus and delivers it to him when they're going to get married. Why? Because we see here that the tzitzis is speaks about the special relationship between a husband and a wife. The pasuk says, "Noif ish chaser leiv." Someone who has adulterous relationship, chaser leiv, is missing a heart. But others say leiv represents 32. The 32 strands of the tzitzis that we wear. So the kallah sends a message to the chassan that we should your 32 tzitzis should be devoted strictly to me. Amar Yehuda, talis shula. If somebody borrowed a talis, kol shloshim yom p'tur min tzitzis. For the first 30 days, it's p'tur min tzitzis. Mikan ve'elach after 30 days chayevis, they have to wear tzitzis. Here too, the Rishonim explain that when we count 30 days, it has to be 30 consecutive days. But if somebody borrowed, and many Mefarshim Rishonim say it's not just borrowed, but the same halacha would be if somebody rented a garment and gave it back and then takes it back, the count starts all over again. Furthermore, very big machloikas Rishonim, that our Gemara is saying that the Talis Shula is potter for 30 days, does that mean that after, most Rishonim say that even after 30 days, the chiv of putting tzitzis on such a garment is only midrabbanan. Never is there a chiv d'oraisa to put tzitzis on a borrowed garment. Da'ar Rishonim, that's the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, Da'ar Rishonim, the Baal Itur, the Meiri, that seem to suggest that there is a chiv tzitzis after 30 days midrabbanan. And the question is, if somebody borrows tzitzis, could a bracha be made on it? So Tosfos says that even according to the opinion that women, for example, who are exempt from mitzvah sasechas man groma, still if they want, may make a bracha on a mitzvah sasechas man groma, on tzitzis that are borrowed, we can't make a bracha. And Tosfos explains, because although women are exempt from mitzvah sasechas man groma, since men are obligated to wear tzitzis, so that's why a woman as well can make a bracha on a mitzvah sasechas man groma. But when we speak about borrowed tzitzis, the Algemar is teaching us that tzitzis that are borrowed for less than 30 days, no one is obligated to wear wear such tzitzis. So therefore, no one perhaps may be able to make a bracha on such tzitzis. However, there is the opinion of the Rosh. The Rosh says that if somebody borrows, and this is the way the Magen Avraham and the Taz explain the Rosh, that if someone borrows tzitzis from someone else, he borrows a talis from someone else that has on a tzitzis. So it's obvious that the purpose that he's for him borrowing this garment is to the mekayim mitzvah tzitzis. There, the halacha is that you can make a bracha on such tzitzis. But of course, as I said, it has to be a garment that's obvious that it's made for tzitzis. If it's not obvious that it's made for tzitzis, it's just a four-cornered garment, then you wouldn't make a bracha. And furthermore, if when the person who lends it, or the person who borrows it, has specifically in mind that the person borrowing it should not be mekayim the mitzvah, then he wouldn't have to make a bracha. And therefore we know, for example, the halacha is, the minig is, that the baal tefillah who says sliches wears a talis. But many times when we say sliches, we say it so early in the morning before the zman of being able to put on talis. So what we do is we borrow the talis with someone else and we have in mind not to borrow it with shem mitzvah tzitzis. So would be the intent of both the borrower and the lender. And if both of them have such an intent, then they're not obligated to make a bracha. Of course, when we speak about borrowing a talis from someone else, the right way is to only borrow it if one has permission from the owner. However, the Paiskim say that if somebody comes to shul and he doesn't have a talis, he may perhaps take the talis of someone who has his talis in shul, because nichle le'inish de le'eved le'mitzah b'memoinai. However, the Paiskim say that if you are borrowing someone else's talis without their permission, there are a number of conditions that have to be met. Number one, it shouldn't be done on a regular basis. It's only something that happened that I don't have my talis. Furthermore, if I'm doing something like that, I may not take the talis out of the shul. I have to leave it in the shul. I have to remain with it in the shul where it was. And furthermore, this is a very important halacha, it has to be folded in the same way that I found it. And therefore, if up to the point that if I don't fold it after I use it the same way as I found it, I maybe have not fulfilled the mitzvah of tzitzis, and if I made the bracha, it would even be a bracha levatola. The question that the Paiskim also discuss is what happens with a talus of kol, a talus that's owned by the shul. If somebody puts on that talus, this person comes to the shul, and he's going to be the Baal Tefillah, and he's going to put on that talus, or he's going to be getting an aliyah, and he takes that talus to put on. There, since he's a member of the kohol, and the entire kohol owns that talus, so he should have to make a bracha before he puts on that talus. And the Paiskim, the Mishnah Berurah, the Bi'ur Halacha, and many other Paiskim discuss that we know that the minhag is that people, when they take such a talus, do not necessarily make a bracha. And the question is, why? So I saw, actually, two, perhaps, explanations. One is, because the talus is, we know that the bracha we make when we put on a talus is l'sa'atei p'tzitzis, we have to do itof, and when somebody puts on such, when somebody puts on the talus or kol just to get an aliyah, he doesn't make itof, so that's why he doesn't make a bracha. Another explanation I saw is that to be considered an owner of an item, you have to have ownership of a shava pruta. It could be that the talus or kol is not considered that any one member of the community has ownership of a shava pruta in that talus, and therefore he would not be obligated to make a bracha. Continue to Gemara. Tani nami hachi. We learned a similar halacha. Hador b'pundiki b'netz Yisrael. If somebody lives in an inn in Netz Yisrael, or a soich habayis b'chutz l'oretz, or someone rents a home in chutz l'oretz, kol shloshim yoyim potim mezuzah. For the first 30 days, he doesn't have to put up a mezuzah. Mikam ve'eloch chayiv. Afterwards, he's obligated. Very interesting, very big machloikus rishonim. When the Gemara says here that after 30 days in chutz l'oretz, one is obligated to put up a mezuzah, is that a chiyuv when he rents an apartment? Is when someone rents an apartment, is there a chiyuv midaraisa, only a chiyuv midrabonim? And of course it would be very relevant l'alocha, because let's say someone has a room in his home where he's not quite certain if there's an obligation to put a mezuzah on that room. If the obligation when someone rents a house is an obligation midaraisa, the halacha is sofet daraisa l'chumra, and we have to put up a mezuzah. But if the obligation is only with the Rabbanon, we know the halacha is sofek the Rabbanon l'chula, and we not have to put up a mezuzah. Similarly, when the Gemara says that hador b'pundik b'etz Yisrael, if somebody lives in an inn in Etz Yisrael, he doesn't have to put up a mezuzah. We speak about an inn where a person has a private room that only he lives there, and that's sort of speak his permanent room. But if it's not his permanent room, nor is it his own private room, the halacha may be different. Avol, soich habayis b'etz Yisrael, if somebody rents a home in Etz Yisrael, oisim mezuzah l'alta. He has to put up a mezuzah immediately, mishum yishev b'etz Yisrael, because of yishev b'etz Yisrael. So as the Mefarshim explained, the reason why in chutz l'aretz a mezuzah is not put up immediately, actually, machlokes rishonim. Some say because we're concerned that he may change his mind. Another pshat is that until he's there 30 days, it's not considered his beis dira. It's not considered really his home. And actually, this machlokes rishonim is very relevant l'aloch l'maisa. Because the Paiskim discuss, if someone rents a home in chutz l'aretz, but he signs a lease for more than 30 days, he signs a lease for a year or whatever, will he be mechuyev to put up a mezuzah immediately? It seems from the Nebuka Yosef, and this is what the Nesivis paskins, that in such a situation, he should put up the mezuzah immediately. Why? Because then it's ready his permanent home. There are Paiskim that disagree. There are Paiskim that say that no, that even if you sign the lease for more than a year, you don't put up a mezuzah until 30 days. And then there are Paiskim, I think that's the opinion of Ramesha. His opinion is that you should put up the mezuzah immediately, but put it up like in some sort of a temporary fashion. put it up only with a piece of tape, and then after the 30 days, put it up permanently. The problem with that approach is regarding the bracha. Because if you put up the mezuzah when you put it up at the beginning, you're obviously not going to make a bracha. Then when you're going to be ready at the end of 30 days to put it up permanently, you're ready putting up, you're putting mezuzah on a door that already has a mezuzah, and then we don't make a bracha. So everybody, there are many different opinions here. But the Gemara says that Eretz Yisrael, it's different. Yishim Yishu, that's Yisrael. And there's a number of opinions why Eretz Yisrael is different. Rashi learns as follows. The halacha is that if somebody rents an apartment, he's not allowed to take the mezuzah. When somebody has an apartment, when he leaves, he's not allowed to take the mezuzah down. So since we're interested in encouraging people to live in Eretz Yisrael, so somebody's going to be in Eretz Yisrael and he'll put up a mezuzah immediately, as the Gemara teaches us, he's going to be reluctant to leave that apartment because he's going to have to leave the mezuzahs. Or, even if he leaves the apartment, it's going to be easy to find another tenant for this apartment because the tenant will already find an apartment that has mezuzahs on it. The problem with this approach is the halacha that you're not allowed to take down mezuzah is only if you know that the next tenant is going to be a Jew. But if you know the next tenant is going to be a non-Jew, you may take the mezuzahs. So where's the Yishuv Beth Yisrael? So the Sfas Emes has a different approach. He says, we know that the mezuzah protects our home from azikim. And we're specifically anxious to protect Eretz Yisrael. And therefore in Eretz Yisrael, we put up the mezuzah immediately to protect the house as much as possible from the nazikim. We learned in the Mishnah, the tefillin shayad and the mekevis tefillin shorosh. The tefillin shayad and the tefillin shorosh aren't connected. Amar Rav Chisda, Loi Shana, when do we say that the two mitzvahs aren't connected? Elo sheyeshlan. Only if he has tefillin shayad and tefillin shorosh. Avol ein loy, if he doesn't have both, then dalok is mekevis, he can't wear one without the other. Asked the Gemara Amaloi, they asked them, Amrit, is this actually the halacha? Is the halacha that if a person only has one of the tefillin, he shouldn't wear the other? Amaloi, El man is le tre mitzvahs. If because somebody can't do two mitzvahs, chod mitzvah namilavit, he shouldn't do one. And this is one of the rayas that the Rishonim bring, that we see that the tefillin shayad and the tefillin shorosh are considered two separate mitzvahs. And therefore he says, of course, you shall wear what you have. Ask the Gemara, Umikar Mikasover, what was his Havimina? His Havimina was Gzeru Sheb Meyivsha. That if a person will know that it's adequate, that he can only wear one, and he doesn't disqualify, doesn't stop him from, if he only has one, he could still at least wear what he has. We're concerned that if he only has one of the tefillin, he'll never go out of the way to get the other one. That's why we thought that maybe it should be such a Gzeru. Teach us the Gemara that there is no such Gzeru. However, the Arsam Rishonim, it's the Arzaruah, very interesting opinion of the Arzaruah, that he says that even though Al Gemara is saying that if you only have one of the two tefillin, wear what you have, says the Arzaruah, on the contrary, if somebody has both tefillin, the tefillin Shayyad and tefillin Shorosh, then he's obligated to wear both, and then he can't just wear one, he has to wear both. Continues the Gemara, Over Rav Sheshes, Kol She'enemei Tefillin, whoever doesn't put on Tefillin, Over B'Shmein Asay, he violates eight mitzvahs Asay. So Rashi has two pshatim. One pshat is that we know that, as we've learned, there are four parshias in the Tefillin, and each parsha, the Torah we say every morning, every evening in Krishma, in the parsha of Ahavtu K'sha'atem, Lo'yso Yotcha, we say in the parsha of so we have for every parasha two obligations, 4 times 2 = 8. But then Rashi has another pshat where he mentions 8 separate mitzvahs of say involved in the tefillin. The kosher only tzitzis v'bigdoy. Whoever doesn't wear tzitzis over b'chamisha say, he violates 5 mitzvahs of say. The kol kohen she'en oil l'duchen. Any kohen who doesn't go up to do Nasiyas Kapayim when he's called, over the Shlosh Asay, he violates 3 Asay.
However, Tosfos points out that this is only if he's called up. If a kohen is called up and he doesn't go, he's over. However, furthermore, many Rishonim say it's only when there are minimal of two kohanim in the shul. If there are less than two kohanim, they aren't, he's not over the shlosha say. However, there are some Rishonim say that even if he's not over three assay, maybe he's over one assay. Furthermore, Taisha says that if a kohen already did Nesias Kapayim once that day, he doesn't have to, and then he's called, he's not over if he doesn't do it again. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Kosha Enle Mezuzah B'Pisgai, whoever doesn't put up a mezuzah on his door, over B'Shnei Assay, he's over two assay, Ksafnim, Ksafnim, as we mentioned, we say twice a day. Bam Rish Lakish, says Rish Lakish further, Kol HaManeach Tefillin, whoever puts on Tefillin, Marich Yomin, will be Zoycha Tarichas Yomin. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Hashem Elokeim Yiyu, L'chol Behen Chayoi, Ruchi V'Sechelmeni V'Achiyeni. So as the Mashah explains, Hashem Elokeim Yiyu refers to Tefillin Sharosh, which, as we spoke many times regarding Tefillin Sharosh, V'Rol Kol HaMa'oritz, Kishem Hashem Nikro Elecho, V'Yor Minecho. The tefillin shayat, as we also learned, are put next to the heart, which is chaye, from where life comes. And the pasuk is saying, if somebody puts on the tefillin shalroish, puts on the tefillin shayat, he will be zoicha to v'tachlimeni v'achiyeni. Another pshat that I saw is, we know the pasuk says, v'atem advekim v'ashem olekechem chayim kolchem hayoyim. By a person putting on the tefillin, he becomes Dovuk, he becomes connected to Hashem, and once a person becomes connected to Hashem, Chayim Kulchem, he will have Chayim, he will have life. We've learned many times that along with the Kabbonis came Minchas Nesachim. The Minchas Nesachim comprised of a carbon mincha, and flour and oil, and wine. That was poured, Nisach HaYayin, that was poured on the Mizbeach. Says the Mishnah, Hasoilus Vashemin, if somebody has the flour and the oil, Eimach Nisayayin, but he doesn't have wine, he can still bring the flour and oil. V'lo Yayim Akvin, or vice versa, if he has the wine, he can bring the wine, even though he doesn't have the flour and oil. Point after we showed him, that even though the flour and oil are an act of the Yayin, and so too vice versa, however, the Soilus and Shemin are ma'akiv each other. And if somebody doesn't have the soil, if he has one without the other, he shouldn't bring it. Says the Mishnah further, Hamatanish al mizbeach achitzin, e'ma'akiv zu'zu. As we learned in the Masechta Zvachim, the blood of the Kabbonis, which was sprinkled on mizbeach achitzin, sometimes there were four matanis, four different times, there was four different corners that was applied, kamachatos, sometimes with shtayim shin arba. Teaches us the Mishnah, if somebody only made one application of the dam, he has still fulfilled the chiv of the carbon. So I saw that the Brisker Rav asks that how does the Mishnah compare the two situations? In the case of the soilus and shemen and the yayin, so if somebody brought the yayin and didn't bring the soilus and shemen, he doesn't have the mitzvah of soilus and shemen, but he has the mitzvah of yayin, or vice versa. Here, however, if somebody, as our Mishnah teaches us, and we learn from the Sefer Zvachim that the halacha is that as soon as you did one application, you have kapara. So what is our Mishnah teaching us? How is the Mishnah comparing the two situations? Based on this question, says the Brisker Rav, that even though our Mishnah, we're going to see the basis for this halacha in the Gemara, teaching us that if you put only one application, you have the kapara. Indeed, as far as the kapara is concerned, you have a kapara even with one application. However, as far as the halacha of the mitzvah of Zrikas Adam, that mitzvah has not been considered to have been fulfilled until you did all the Zrikas the Torah calls for. Tana Rabban, begins the Gemara, the Torah says, as we said in our Mishnah, when somebody brings a carbon, he brings along with it a carbon mincha and the sachim. So say the Rabbanan, since the Torah uses the words minchasam v'niskeim,
first the Karban Mincha should be brought, and then the Nischa Yayin should be brought. Havei Mincha, v'achkach havei Nesachim. Rabbi Yomer, however, Zevach u'Nesachim, we learn from here, havei Zevach, first bring the Karban, v'achkach havei Nesachim, and afterwards bring the Nesachim. That means immediately after the Karban, bring the Nesachim, and only later bring the Karban Mincha. Ask the Gemara of Rabbi Nami Yoksev or Mechasov and Niskeyem. Answers the Gemara, Ahumi Boile. Rabbi said that that pasuk comes to teach us Mechasov and Niskeyem Belaila. You could, even though avoid it may not be done, Belaila, Mincha and the Sochem can be brought at night. Mechasov and Niskeyem, a fill of Makkah that can be brought later. But as we're going to learn, that's only as long as they weren't yet put into a Klisharis. Once the Karim Mincha was blood into Klisharis, it has to be brought that day. The Tzofetz Paneach, the Ragged Shabbos, says a very nice word. He says, we look at the Torah on Sukkot, when it describes all the Karban Minchas and the Sochem that are brought, always spells Minchasov and Niskeyem Molei. Besides the Minchasov and Niskeyem that are brought on the seventh day of Sukkot, there it's spelled Chasov, without the Yud. Why? Says the Tzofetz Paneach. Because even though our Gemara is now teaching us that one could bring the Nesachim many days after he brought the Karban, the halacha is that he could only do so on a weekday. He can't bring it on Yontif. That's why the pasuk, when it comes to the seventh day of Sukkot, yes, you bring Mechasim and Niskeim. But which Mechasim and Niskeim may you bring on that day? Only what is the obligation of that day, not a prior obligation, that can't be brought on Yom Tov. Furthermore, Machloikas Rishonim, that even though our Gemara is teaching us that you could bring the Nesachim many days after he brought the Karban, may one do so l'chatchil or not? Some Rishonim are of the opinion that this is only acceptable b'dieved. L'chatchil, one should bring it on the same day. Other Rishonim say that our Gemara doesn't make any such distinction, and therefore even l'chatchil, you could bring the Minchas Nesachim many days later. A third opinion I saw differentiates between a Karban Tzibur and a Karban Yochid. A Karban Yochid, even l'chatchila, you could bring it many days later. But a Karban Tzibur, since by a Karban Tzibur the halacha is that one says Shira, but the Shira is only said if the Nesachim, the Shira on the Yayin, but the halacha is that the Shira is only said if the Karban was brought that day, so we want the Shira to be said, there the halacha is that the Nesachim, in order that we should be able to say the Shira, should be brought on the day that the Karban is brought. Ask the Gemara, Rabbanan Nami, Haksiv Zevach Nesachim, which seems to indicate that the Nesachim are brought immediately after the Karban. Answers the Gemara, Homer by Lech Leziri, Dama Zira, Ein Nesachim Skatshim, El Beshkitas HaZevach. Nesachim only become Kadosh. That means once the Karban is brought, then and only then is the halacha, you can't change what you designated for something else. Before that, they have Kedusha, but they can be designated for a different Karban. Ask the Gemara, Rebbe Nami Mibayle L'Chaziri, doesn't Rebbe need the same Rina Ziri? Rabbanan Nami and Nirvanan also, don't they need Mechasim Skeim B'Layla or Mechasim Skeim Afil L'Machar? Says the Gemara, L'Haim Tam and Rabbanan. Why did Rabbanan say that the Mincha is brought immediately after the Karban? The Ksiv Oilo Mincha, which clearly indicates that the Mincha is brought right after the Karban. The Rebbe Nami asked the Gemara, that's the point. So the pasuk is very clear. What does Rebbe say? Haksiv Oilo Mincha. And therefore says the Gemara, Boima Nazavach to Kulam Loi Pligi. When the Mechas Nesachim was brought together with the Karban, everybody agrees the Mincha Vachkach Nesachim. You bring the Mincha and only afterwards the Nesachim. Because as we just learned, the Pasuk clearly says, Oilo a Mincha. Keep Pligi, where is there a Machloikis? The Blayim of Fnei Atzma. Machloikis is showing what does the Blayim of Fnei Atzma mean. Some mean, going back to what we learned a moment ago, that since the Halacha is you can bring the Minchas Nesachim many days later, so if you're not bringing the Minchas Nesachim on the same day as you brought the Karban, what do you do first, what do you do second? Others say that, as we've learned, the halacha is, Misnadiv Odom Minchas Nesachim. a person has a right to be menadev a minchas nesachim. And that's the what our Gemara is referring to, is somebody donated a minchas nesachim. Rabbanan, Savri, Rabbanan are of the opinion, midabayim mezadach, when the minchas nesachim is brought together with a carbon, dalochi is bring mincha, v'akach nesachim, similarly, b'fnei atzmo nami, when they're brought by himself, dalochi is bring mincha, v'akach nesachim. Rebbe says, hosom, when you bring the carbon, that's when you bring the mincha immediately afterwards. The ayde the aska b'chila, since you brought the carbon, which is something that's eaten, so we continue with the mincha, which is also something that's eaten, and then you go on to the wine. Abafnei atzma, but when you're bringing the minchas nesachim without a carbon, nesachim adifi, it's better to bring the nesachim first, hodim's amashir alayim. And as the Rishonim Taisus and the Shita all point out, that even though the Shira, as we just said a few moments ago, is not said when you bring minchas nesachim without a carbon, but since the nesachim at times are the part of the carbon when you that you say the Shira on it, gives the nesachim dach shivas, that if you bring a minchas nesachim alone, bring the nesachim first. We learned in the Mishnah, Tanabonim, says the Braisa, Minayim l'kol ha'nitana ha'mizbech ha'chitzin, how do you know that Allah is that the dam that's put in the mizbech ha'chitzin, sh'nosna b'mitana achash keeper, if you just did one application, you already have a kapara, sh'nema, the Pasuk says, v'dam ziv v'checho yishofech ha'mizbech ha'shem l'kacho, as soon as you have yishofech, one application, it's considered that you will have a kapara.